Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at REWfinancial.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. We're here on a chillier Wednesday, or Thursday, I should say. Brought to you by our good friend Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484 or online at REWfinancial.com. We're at the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Route 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, the Hilscher's General Store hotline open, and I'd love to hear from you. I mean, look, you have questions about what's going on with Penn State football or whatever, about spring practice. If I were you, I'd take advantage of it. How about that? If I were you, I'd take advantage of it. We're going to call some other show and they're going to tell you what's going on? Really? Really? And, of course, we have Kevin Hur to answer any questions you have about being a fan.
And I'm sure there's a lot of those.
They love you out there. Tiger's at 2 under par.
Tiger update.
Tiger at 2. Well, update Tiger on the 2s.
You know what, though? You have to let me know ahead of time because every time you do a Masters update, you got to play the music, you know?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Cheese.
And then every time we end it, the Masters on CBS.
Yeah, okay. Fabulous. That's great. Yeah. Fabulous. That's, yeah.
Hollywood.
But if I were you, I'd call in. If I had questions about what's going on with football, position battles, things like that, I'll tell you what's going on. Why not? It's one of the reasons I'm here, isn't it?
Yeah, you kind of touched on it a little bit yesterday, but I want you to talk a little bit more about the quarterback situation and what kind of a setup is Hackenberg coming into later in the year with two guys that have already spent a lot of time learning the system? I think there's a lot of fans that have a lot of hope for him because there's been a lot of hype around him, but it might just be, you know, a tough thing for him to step in right away.
Leave him alone. Leave him alone. Honestly, leave him alone.
Well, that's my point.
I mean, leave him alone.
I mean, there's been more pressure on this poor kid before he even has stepped foot on campus.
Nah, I mean, leave him alone. You know, I just don't. I don't quite see it. Look, I've now watched for 2 years quarterbacks at various stages, levels, things like that, come in here and try to. Learn this system. Well, it's not easy to learn the system. It's just not easy to learn the system. It takes time. And you just can't sit there and all of a sudden, like, wave a magic wand and you got the offense down. You just can't do that. And for some reason, people seem to think that that's all you have to do is wave the magic wand, and guess what? Good news. You know the system, you can make all the plays. Because there's as much to do in this system pre-snap as there is post-snap. Now, he's a very intelligent young man. By all accounts. Okay? By all accounts, very intelligent. But there's also, you're a freshman. You're taking classes for the first time. You're having to get used to that regimen. Get used to teammates. Get used to receivers. Allen Robinson likes the ball here. Kyle Carter likes the ball there. Bill O'Brien demands that you put the ball here. Okay? All this and, I mean, all that, and then you have to try and win a job as a quarterback. And then you have talk show hosts who go on and tell you that you should have a shot at this thing. Really? Okay. I think you take what you have and you do the best you can with it. And right now it's Tyler Ferguson and it's Stephen Bench. He's not even a part of this mix now for 2.5 more months. Kevin Herr.
I'm not one of those that want to see him start or wonder if he's going to get in. I'm asking the fan question. I think it's a tough battle for him to do it.
Look, here's one of the biggest problems I have with the recruiting part of it. All right? Recruiting is vital, and it's an absolute vital part of the lifeblood of a program. Correct?
Absolutely.
Have to have that. Right? Fans having interest in recruits is also very important because you want people interested in your program. Okay? Correct? Correct. Okay? And also, fans are extremely interested in recruits because they're the new guys. Correct?
Yes.
Okay? All right. Now here's the next part. You have to give them time. Some can get in there right away and get it done. Quarterback's not the easiest place, by the way, to carve out a spot. Now, he's in an interesting spot because there is not an incumbent. Okay? There is no incumbent. But I also think it's extremely unfair to have him walk in here and people go, hey, it's like, hey, slow down. If he wins it, he wins it. That shows you how extraordinary he is if he does. But you start behind. And it has to be established to everybody that he started behind. He can study the playbook all he wants. That way he's as ready can be. But there's something about doing it when all the chess pieces are in front of you. Making the right call at the line of scrimmage, they're making the right call in terms of protection, making the right read. That takes time. Like anything. We aren't the same talk show hosts that we were 20 years ago. Experience has changed how we go about our business. Experience has changed how you go about your business. You do things in your everyday life and business, wherever you happen to work up and down the valley. You probably do things a bit differently now than you did 10, 15 years ago. Because experience tells you that this is the way to do it, or it's a better way to do it. So, that's how I answer that question. I know there's going to be a lot of people that are going to ask over and over, what do you think? What do you think? I have never seen him throw a football in person in my life. How about that answer?
Well, that's an honest answer.
That's right.
Well, and you said this many times as well. You know, guys that are highly recruited on paper, you know, until they actually get on the field and are performing at the college level, it's not really fair to evaluate them.
Well, you can. It's not, you know. Now, once they get into August and he's out there competing, then I'll have a better read as to where he might or might not stand in this thing. As of right now, I'll tell you exactly where he stands. Out of the money. Because he hasn't thrown a football here yet. He can only get himself into the money by getting to campus, going through the independent workouts with the other players, and then getting into training camp. Then he puts himself in the running. As of today, not in the running. He's not here. He's not even a part of, you know, he's not on campus. So we talk about the guys that are on campus. But, I mean, I understand the speculation of why people want to speculate about him because he comes here with a great reputation. I have seen him, met him. I'll say this. He's bigger than I thought he would be, and he's certainly broader across the chest than I thought he would be. This is not a skinny, uncut, 18-year-old young man. Nope. He's big, fairly well built, but again, I've never even seen him pick up a football, let alone throw it. And that's not a vague answer. You say, oh, well, that's vague, that's sidestepping. I've never seen him throw a football. So if a talk show host tells you that they think he can do X, Y, and Z, they're lying to you and just doing it for the sake of being on the show. Okay. So when I tell you that somebody's doing something well or not doing something well, you can go back to the part about Hackenberg and you say, you know what? When he didn't see Hackenberg throw a ball, he didn't snow us. Today's show brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call, 800-609-9484, or go online to rewfinancial.com. On News Radio, 1070 WKOK.
I really need a used car.
Sunbury Motors has lots full of used cars.
But it has to be a good used car.
Well, they're not good.
What?
They're great. Sunbury Motors has over 300 used vehicles to choose from. Cars, SUVs, and trucks so good, we wouldn't sell them if we wouldn't drive them. That's probably why we consistently sell over 200 cars a month. And when it comes to new, Sunbury Motors is the largest Ford dealership in the central Susquehanna Valley. Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices.
And I'm a smart shopper, and I know what the price should be for the car I want.
Well, here at Sunbury Motors, you get our lowest price promise. We research prices on used cars so much that if you find a better deal, we'll beat it. That's a promise. So here's your keys.
Thanks.
Take a test drive today at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and our Kia dealerships at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Shop 24/7 and see our inventory at sunburymotors.com. That's sunburymotors.com. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Hi, I'm Rick Weibel from REW Financial. I strive to take an eagle-eye approach to your financial future to help give you the freedom to make powerful decisions. I work with you to help you find the discipline you need to get the results you want. I don't believe in just setting it up and letting things go. I'll always be looking to see how we can make things better. REW Financial is an independent company committed to the highest standards of integrity, ethics, and value throughout your financial journey. See us in Lewisburg and Brook Park Farm. Call 800-609-9484 or visit us online at rewfinancial.com.
Time now for a Masters update. Let's go live to Butler Cabin.
Wow, that was exciting. Thanks.
It's what it deserves. The Aussie Mark Leishman is the leader at 6 under par. He shot a 66. He went 35 in the front, 31 in the back. Sergio Garcia is now in the midst of playing Amen Corner. He's at 5 under par. He's put together a great round so far. David Lynn shot a 4 under par 68, as did Ricky Fowler. Meanwhile, Jim Furyk, a 3 under par 69. Zach Johnson, former Masters champ, a 3 under par 69. Dustin Johnson is 3 under at the turn, as is Freddie Couples, and Trevor Immelman is at 3 under playing 15. All right, now let's get to Justin Rosalie. Westwood shot 70 today. Tiger Woods has shot a 70. Tiger Woods down the stretch flubbed it, basically. He had it to 3-under. He had exactly what he wanted. He then bogeyed 14. That's fine. But then he parred 15. Parring 15 is the equivalent of, I mean, literally, that is the equivalent of bogeying.
That's a par 5, right?
Par 5, it's a giveaway.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's if you make a good first shot, you should actually be on in 2.
So
even I know that,
and he was on in 2. He was on in 2.
Wow.
He had a five footer for birdie, and he didn't make it.
A 3-putt? You said he parted?
Yeah, he parted.
Wow.
Three putted the hole.
That's me putting. That's not Tiger putting.
2. Yeah, and then there's your slice. Ooh.
Yeah, but that might play right on that hole. I mean, that may play perfectly on that hole.
I have never seen anybody do that.
It killed you when it ended up right down the middle, didn't it? And that's
I was rooting for you because we're on the same team. But.
And that's the Masters update.
Yeah. Mickelson's not playing well right now. Mickelson does not have it going today.
Steve, I got Dave on line one, wants to chat with you.
And the reason I don't see Dave is that my screen is gone again.
Yes, it is. I figured it was.
Yes. Hi, Dave.
Dave.
Well, Great to hear from you, Dave.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Well, I learned a lesson from you actually last year, believe it or not.
you'd be the first one.
You know what it was?
What was that?
Well, first of all, the quarterback... I had my heart set on Jones.
Oh, Paul Jones, sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But because due to the academics deal, you know, such as that was.
Mm-hmm.
But him, Matt McGloin, doing that whole year of, you know, leading up to the season with the playbook of a new coach and that.
Right.
He was given free rein and actually blossomed.
Right.
That this year, I'm going to wait till August to form my.
Well, I think that's smart.
And I thought you were going to throw in a story time with Steve there after.
Oh, don't encourage him.
Well, after you did the Masters thing.
Don't worry. He'll come up with a story time with Steve soon enough.
Don't encourage me. That's one of the more popular segments on this show.
It is. You're right. It is entertaining. Even I have to admit that.
Ace. Dave likes it, don't you, Dave?
Yeah, I mean, you're in your corner.
Yeah, you're in my corner. See, he's in my corner.
Well, there's one.
You know, and then
he better not trip too much.
Kevin.
Yeah.
Well, he was in the booth last year with us for the blue-white game, and did you hear the story about his kid?
No, but I heard about the big picture.
Nice, son.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Tell him the story about your son last year at the blue-white game as you were on TV looking for yourself.
I was not looking for myself. I wanted
yes,
to hear how it
were.
Sounded.
Oh, tell you know Drew what? Kelly. Drew Kelly knows. Drew, you tell everybody.
All right, fine. I recorded it so I could hear Steve and how the transition went because I'm interested in that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And my son goes, "Who's the big guy behind Mr. Jones in that picture?"
That explains it.
Yeah.
Story time with Kevin.
Great story.
Any other good ones?
No.
How's he doing as far as his game, batting the ball and that stuff?
There we
baseball?
Go, yeah. How about an update on your kid?
they have not started games yet, but he's caught a few balls. Actually, more than he's dropped. Swung the bat pretty well. But, you know, it's early yet.
Oh.
There's still hope that it gets even better.
Okay. So you've already given up the hope for Kyle Sanderson to show up to your house?
Well, that's wrestling. That's a whole different animal now.
I understand
you still got three more. He's still got four more years of that yet. So there's still hope there.
This is about as much help as Cale Sanderson showing up at his house as Mickey Mantle. All
or Mickey Mouse. I'll hang up and listen.
Mickey Mantle shows up at my house. There's a serious problem.
I said there's as much chance of Cale Sanderson showing up at your house as Mickey Mantle.
Oh, I knew what you said.
There was a reason why I selected that.
I'm sure there was.
It's like talking to your kid. America loves you, so you're fine.
Oh, well, great. There we go.
They do. But yeah, that is your Masters update. Tiger shot 70 today. Solid round, nothing spectacular.
By the way, from now on, when you start the Masters update, start with Tiger and then work your way through the rest of the field.
Sure, that'd be great. In fact, here's the headline on ESPN. Tiger chasing 66 at Masters. Came up 4 short.
Well, he's still chasing it.
He's not going to get there.
He'll be chasing it for another 3 days yet.
But look, you just want to post a score. You post a score tomorrow. Then you move yourself into position Saturday, and then you try to win it Sunday. That's how you do it. The first round doesn't mean usually all that much. I mean, no offense to Mark Leishman of Australia. If they're putting a jacket on him Sunday, I'm stunned. And he had a great round today.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
It's the Kevin Hirsch Show, KHS. I'm Steve Jones. Along for the ride.
Keep going. I like the way this is starting already.
I bet you do.
It's a dream come true. I have to ask you officially, if you win 2 in a row, is it considered a winning streak yet, or do you have to win a third?
Jeez, I don't know.
I mean, if you go by the Major League 2 movie, I think you have to win 3 in a row before it's a winning streak.
Okay.
Which means the Phillies are almost at a winning streak now.
Okay, well, they're doing better than they were. How about that?
Well, that's not saying much.
Well, they're doing better than they were, though.
I want to see if my theory is correct now.
About heat.
Yeah, because they're going down to Miami. Yeah. So I would think that the weather is going to be comparable to what they had in spring training, at least I would hope. So they should actually have a good you all right there?
They should
actually have a good series. When the weather's been warm, they've actually been playing quite well.
Wow. Okay.
Now the weather's gonna be cold here, so they go to a warmer climate, which I think plays very well into the scheme of that idea.
Spectacular theory.
I know.
I mean, I am genuinely impressed.
Then they go. Then Monday, it's on the road to Cincinnati, where the temperature should be a little bit warmer than it is right now.
No question.
And then they come back to Philadelphia for a two series homestand.
Came up with this theory all by yourself.
I did. I mean, well, think about it. They've scored 15 runs in 2 games.
Yeah.
That's almost what they scored the entire season so far.
I know.
With the exception of Sunday's game against the Royals. See, they scored 17 runs. Actually, 16 runs. Mm-hmm. With the exception of the 8 runs on Sunday. They scored 15 in 2 games.
Right.
Both those games were in temperatures above 70 degrees at the start.
So you're saying a hot summer
bodes
is the
well.
Key to success.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it bodes well.
Even though the Nationals and the or better.
Well, maybe.
And the Braves.
Maybe.
You want to go position by position?
No. Although Ben Revere had some really nice plays in the outfield last night.
Well, he's good. I like Ben Revere.
And I don't know if you saw, but did you see Chase Utley's home run last night?
No, I did not.
It was straightaway center over the 401 sign, and it still looked like he took a half swing at it.
Yeah, but he has that compact swing. I've always liked his swing a lot.
Well, that's my point.
Always have liked his swing. It's just a beautiful, compact, really nice, sweet swing. You know, and I've always liked his swing. I just think it's one of the, I mean, it's the part of his game that I think is so special that he has, and it's a perfect swing for that ballpark. Perfect swing for that ballpark. So.
But Atlanta at 8-1, though, that's just.
Well, I mean, look, the schedule works in certain ways. They're playing Miami right now.
Oh, okay. That helps.
Okay. Just like the Phillies just played the Mets.
Although the Mets do have a better record, even with losing 2 of 3.
And this is April 11th?
I know that. I realize that.
I try to point these things out to you.
You're forgetting. It's early in the season, and there hasn't been much to get excited about, though, if you're a Phillies fan anyway.
They just took 2 out of 3, right?
And I'm excited about that.
Then, you know, you keep taking 2 out of 3, 2 out of 3. No. They go to Miami, they take 2 out of 3, fine. The key is that extra playoff spot's very, very important. Because as far as I'm concerned, that's what the Phillies are playing for. Winning the division is going to be awfully difficult unless there are repeated injuries along the way. The Braves lineup between the two Uptons. Now, Freeman's on the DL right now. Hayward, they're going to get McCann back. They have the best closer in the game and very good starting pitching. That's a tough group to go against. The Nationals, meanwhile, might have on paper the best starting pitching staff out of anyone, and you add into that the fact that their bullpen's great and they have an outstanding closer, and Harper, in combination with Worth, in combination with Zimmerman, give them some legitimate RBI pop in that lineup. It's a good-looking ball club they built in Washington. And the timing couldn't be any better for them as a franchise. Our number 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565, and also, Kevin, they can email questions as well.
Absolutely. Steve Jones at WKOK.com.
Sounds simple enough. Even I can understand it.
You know who is having a really good start to the year in the National League especially is John Buck.
Yeah, the catcher for the Mets.
15 RBIs already. I mean, of the games he's played, only 2 of them, he has not had an RBI.
Yeah, might as well give him the MVP now, right? No,
I didn't say that. I said he's having a good start to the season.
You talk like a fantasy guy all the time.
I wish he was on my fantasy team. I could use numbers like that. Actually, I could use any numbers, but that's a whole different point. But he's hit home runs in 3 consecutive games.
You're such a bitter guy.
3 consecutive home runs. Of course, he was at Citizens Bank Park, so that does help a little bit.
Doesn't matter. Home run's a home run. Tiger, by the way, satisfied with the 70 today.
Why?
That was his. Well, again, first round, you just want to put yourself right there with the number.
All right.
No, you have to. This is a marathon. It's not a sprint. You play 72 holes in this thing. You're 18 holes in. Right now, he's no worse than 4 shots off the pace, although Sergio Garcia could change that.
You want to be in the hunt. I get that.
Right. And Sergio still has the 2 par 5s coming up, 13 and 15. So he's at 5 under right now. But you're going to be no worse than 5 shots off the pace. You're currently 4. You're fine. You're in good shape.
What was his back 9? I'm just curious. You'd mentioned he had some trouble in the back 9.
I think he was even on the back nine. He was even in the back nine. But see, he was three under at one point.
Well, yeah,
and he still had 15 in front of him. He then bogeyed 14,
right,
and then he parred 15.
Which, like you said, is like a bogey.
Right. He parred out. But, I mean, you have to be honest about it. And, you know, obviously, when it comes to how he plays, people aren't very honest about it. It's, you know.
It'll be interesting.
Rooting for him or against him. Yeah.
It'll be interesting come Saturday, late in the round, or even Sunday, to see what 11 and 15 are playing. 11 and 15, what they're playing at that point.
13 and 15.
Or 13 and 15, sorry. 11's the long par 4.
Yeah, you birdie that, you win the tournament.
Yeah, 11's the long par, but 13 and 15, yes.
Yeah. And Phil Mickelson's at 2 over playing 10. I mean, what Mickelson has to do is Mickelson on the back nine has to come up with 3 birdies. 13, 15, and someplace else to get him, you know, under par, get him to a red number. I mean, that's what he has to do to get himself back on track. Because right now he is 2 over and he's playing 11. He's not going to birdie 11.
How'd Bubba do?
Bubba was struggling when I saw. Let me see. Where is Bubba?
You got to love a guy wearing the green jacket named Bubba.
Well, it was a hovercraft.
Really? That's cool.
Haven't you seen this hovercraft that he uses as his golf cart?
That's cool.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Let me see. Adam Scott, who, by the way, is a really good player, is at 200 through 12. Where is Bubba Watson? Okay, I'm too high up on the leaderboard now. I know that for a fact.
Yeah, he 69 was the first day last year.
Yeah, but he was over par most of the day today. And, yeah, he's at 3 over right now. He finished at 3 over 75. So not what he needed.
You know, since we're talking about golf, one thing that always bothered me is, why is there such a big deal on the PGA Tour that these guys wear pants at golf courses where it's 95 degrees? Why? What is the big deal there? Why can't you have some sort of a shorts regulation?
Well, for one thing, it's a country club. I would not wear shorts at Susquehanna Valley Country Club.
I have. As you know. I don't know. I mean, the Masters, I don't know.
Why? Okay. What? Why do you wear pants? Why do you wear football? Why do you wear football? Why do you wear a certain uniform for hockey? Why do you wear...
Well, that's easy.
Why do you wear a uniform?
Well, all right. I'm wearing pants in baseball because I'm going to be sliding.
Right. But this is the standard, this set in golf. It's a standard of class. Okay. It is a, I see nothing. To me, it's golf and excuse and for the women, because there are many women who play golf out there. All right. So the way I'm about to phrase it, it's a sportsman's game. It's a gentleman's game. That's the. I realize the weekend hacker goes out, you know, which we can qualify there. They'll wear shorts and so forth. But these are professionals. Thus, you dress as a professional.
But isn't that how this sport gets its snobbiness or that image?
What, by wearing a pair of pants?
No, by looking or trying to get the impression better than you.
No. Look at all the... First of all, how many people have bought a red shirt with a swoosh on it in the last 15 years?
Not quite a few.
Right, because Tiger Woods wears that. They don't buy the pair of pants he's wearing. They don't care. A golf shirt and a pair of slacks... looks professional, presentable.
I can understand that point.
It's not, it's snobbishness. You're not snobby by doing that. By conducting yourself as a professional does not make you a snob. Professionalism is a standard of excellence.
I never really looked at it that way with golf because, well, and you put it into an interesting perspective that I never thought about. This is the professional sport. This is their job. This is their business. So I mean, this would be their business attire. I never looked at it that way, but I could understand that.
I mean, I could be an IndyCar driver and I can look like the billboard on 322. I mean, what?
Well, there's a few that are getting away with a little more billboard than I think maybe the PGA Tour is overly comfortable with, but
I mean, they have their sponsors on there, which is fine. Okay. It is their uniform when they play. Just like when you go to Wimbledon, you must wear white. That is the standard at Wimbledon. You must wear white when you play. That's the standard of the club. Other tournaments throughout the course of the year, you can wear whatever color scheme you wish that is presentable. But at Wimbledon, you must wear white when you play tennis.
But the argument there, I think, could be made that that is the tradition.
Well, it's the tradition in golf. And I mean, you saw Payne Stewart for years wear knickers like they did in years gone by.
Right. And I think, and that was okay.
Sure, it was okay. There's no problem with that.
I'm just glad that the color scheme of the pants changed, because then you could rule out the golf as men wearing weird colored pants.
No. You're saying. But it is, you are a professional golfer. For example, I may be on radio, but I'll wear slacks and a golf shirt when I broadcast Penn State football. I don't wear a T-shirt and a pair of shorts, even though I'm on the radio and nobody can see me.
Well, you put it in a perspective that I didn't really look at. And that's the fact that this is their work environment.
I mean, that's their job. It is their work environment.
I never really thought. I looked at it my way, where on Saturdays I'm going around and trying to at least play half, all right, a quarter as good as they do.
Well, but, you know, it's the weekend. It's 95 degrees and so forth. But you're going out recreationally. When it comes time to report for work on Monday, how do you dress?
Right. No, that's an excellent point.
When they go to the golf course, that's them reporting for work. Our number, 1-800-799-5565.
This is such an educational program for me.
Today's show brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484 or go online at rewfinancial.com. Kevin and I will wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 10 WKOK.
I really need a used car.
Sunbury Motors has lots full of used cars.
But it has to be a good used car.
Well, they're not good.
What?
They're great. Sunbury Motors has over 300 used vehicles to choose from. Cars, SUVs, and trucks so good, we wouldn't sell them if we wouldn't drive them. That's probably why we consistently sell over 200 cars a month. And when it comes to new, Sunbury Motors is the largest Ford dealership in the Central Susquehanna Valley. Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices.
And I'm a smart shopper, and I know what the price should be for the car I want.
Well, here at Sunbury Motors, you get our lowest price promise. We research prices on used cars so much that if you find a better deal, we'll beat it. That's a promise. So here's your keys.
Thanks.
Take a test drive today at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and our Kia dealerships at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Shop 24/7 and see our inventory at sunburymotors.com. That's sunburymotors.com. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Small pants, big pants, giant frilly big pants, new pants, blue pants, 1, 2, 3. Rich pants, poor pants, swinging on the door pants. How many more pants can you see?
How does one react to that?
You don't. You just go right along with it.
Rich Scarcella, Reading Eagle tomorrow. We'll talk Penn State football.
You like the pants song, admit it.
Rich Scarcella, Reading Eagle tomorrow, talking Penn State football.
And if you missed today's conversation, the podcasts are going to be available in a few short moments at stevejonesshow.com. Just click
Corey
podcast.
Corey Geiger. And it was interesting because Corey ventured off into his own topic in the end, something I wasn't even going to bring up about the criticism he's received and people saying he's anti-Penn State. He started talking about it on his own. Interesting.
I thought it was interesting that you guys agreed. I was surprised about that.
I think a lot of people were surprised about that.
And I'm not saying anything negative about Corey. I was just surprised.
No, I know. I think a lot of people were. But practice will be taking place tomorrow, then they go Saturday. Next week, I want to point out, though, so people understand, you are supposed to have three practices without in the spring. They've had two so far. They still have one more to go. My guess is that one more to go is Monday. That's my guess, that one more to go in terms of no pads probably will be Monday. But the next 2 days are really big days for what Bill wants to accomplish and what this football team needs to accomplish. Next week kind of tapers just a bit. As I mentioned, they still have one without pads, then the blue-white game. Now, after the blue-white game, we'll hear from people as to what they think, you know, about the quarterback situation. Ferguson has a really good arm. Really good arm. You watch, he gets back there, and he slings that thing. He fires it. He's done a much better job with his footwork in the last few weeks as well. You know, there's that really five-foot circle you have in the pocket where a pocket quarterback operates. And he has done a much better job and has much better command of that in the last 10 days or so than I recall in the first 10 days. Stephen Bench, meanwhile, has done a good job. He's moves better in terms of getting out of the pocket and creating. His accuracy has improved. I think he struggled a little bit with his accuracy at the beginning of the spring. That has improved. And they both, I think, have done a pretty good job at the line of scrimmage. Pretty good. Every once in a while, you know, because there are times, for example, I can see the play clock and they can't, because inside Haluba, it's only at one end. They don't have the play clock at both ends. So they have to do a better job of being aware play clock-wise moving forward, because you can't have them in a spot where, you know, you're getting a delay of game where you're just handing over yards. You can't do that. But they have really improved a lot in the last few weeks. Now, do they still have work to do? Yes. Today's show brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484 or go online to REWfinancial.com.